What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Honest Tattooer Podcast. My name is John Mesa, joined by Matt Triano.
Hey, how you doing?
And my homie G Money, Gabe Pantoa. What's up, brother?
What's good? We back.
We are back. So if you just were on YouTube and you tried to see us do this live, you know that we failed miserably.
Womp, womp.
Good. That, womp, 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 I know. Womp. I don't know which. It wasn't that.
Oh, that's the old board.
That's the old board. That's that good. Wah, wah, wah. But man, going live on YouTube is a lot harder than what you may think.
You know what? I think it's hard because we have a very extensive setup.
Yeah.
If it was just one camera, one mic, it would be pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. One camera, one mic, pretty easy. But also getting... Also, if you're listening to the podcast, you like the podcast, you want to help us out on how to make this live on YouTube, send us a DM, send us a message, because we appreciate any kind of help with this. Because even just being able to connect the audio that we get through our mics onto the live platform, I feel like there's something else. There's another step there that we're missing.
Probably.
To be able to get this audio matched up with cameras and for it to go all on YouTube at the same time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully somebody's got some answers for us and we can do it again, or at least try to.
Yeah. You know what we're going to do? Watch some YouTube videos about it. Try to figure it out.
Yeah.
But without further ado, what we're talking about this week is tattoos. And we have some tattoos that were submitted to us by some of our listeners, and we're going to do some critiques. And we know how much you guys love and hate our critiques of tattoos because of the comments.
It looks good to me.
I know, but you know what? We try to keep it real with you guys, and we try to give you the honest truth of what we think about the work that's shown to us. And with any critique, there's going to be some compliments, and there's going to be just points that you might consider that they're very overly critical, but that's why they submitted these tattoos. They didn't submit them just to get praise and to get fluffed. I mean, that's what your clients are for. Your clients are going to tell you, you did amazing work. This is phenomenal. It's the best thing ever. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to have a group of people that love tattooing and have seen a lot of tattoos to really give you an honest perspective of your work. And that's the way that you're going to get better.
So we got two people who submitted.
Cool.
The first one came from Rico Seja.
Rico. Right.
Rico's a Patreon supporter. Thank you very much, Rico.
Woo. Thank you so much, Rico.
Thank you.
And he sent a couple all black and gray stuff, cool stuff. And then we have another one from Laziness Tattoo. I believe Laziness is also a Patreon supporter.
Laziness Tattoo.
Laziness.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Like, we're with it, man.
So thank you both of you for one, being a Patreon supporter, and then two, submitting these for critiques.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. So let's start with Rico.
Rico. Oh. Let's start. You guys want to do the long neck first?
Yeah.
All right. So that was the first thing you guys talked about, was how long this neck was, right?
That was the first thing that jumped at me immediately. This neck is long, but overall, it's
cool.
It's a freaking cool tattoo,
it's,
man.
It's a cool zombie tat.
And that's a hard ass spot to do any tattoo.
You know what I'm amazed by is that the ankle is gone.
Like, yeah.
Shaded out. You can't even see the lump there.
Well, I feel like
it would have landed right in the Adam's apple, which could have been cool to kind of incorporate that as like a part of the anatomy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very cool. But I think also that thing's probably super swollen.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, at the moment it's probably very, very swollen. But if you look at the skin around where the ankle is, it's not even that irritated or that red or that angry, in my opinion. Yeah. So Rico, you really did a cool tattoo, man.
Yeah. Knocked this one out.
Yeah. That tattoo's sick. The texture is freaking awesome. You know, and even the how low he went on the foot, you know, like it takes some skill to put ink that smoothly down there. And even if like, this is what I thought too, like, even though we feel like the neck is really long, if that bottom of that starts fading out because it's like the bottom of the foot, that neck's going to look shorter,
you
know, immediately. And I think it still works and it still looks like a rat tattoo. There's just the right kind of heavy amount of like darkness on the bottom and that nice negative space throughout the face on the top of the face where it matters, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything about this super clean. I love the little wispy hairs on top. Like it's delicate, but rough at the same time. Like,
yeah,
I think it's really well done.
Really well done tattoo, man.
All right. let me say on the contrary. So I feel like everything from what these guys said is absolutely true. Now, as far as the neck, I definitely, you see how you kind of like added that really good, that really cool, like smoke coming out of the, out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. If he could have added kind of like a smoke streak breaking up the neck down there.
That's a good idea, man.
Yeah.
And he would have like been able to break up the design and also make up for if any of that fades, it's still going to look good.
Yeah, know? For sure.
But yeah, the long neck kind of bothers me, but everything you said about it, like it's a cool placement. It looks cool on the ankle, but it could have just probably been a little bit better with just that little design element. But you know, that's just me nitpicking and that's what I'm here for.
I mean, if we're going to start nitpicking, the nostrils being jet black kind of is very stark.
You know what's crazy? I like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I like it just because he used such a strong light source at the top on the forehead and on the top of the nose. So it just blocks these fairly strong shapes where after, because he left the top of the nose all negative, you know? So it's like super strong light source. So I like the fact that they're just solid black.
Okay. All right. To each his own.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Moving on. Let's go to the cover up. Another foot tat. This one's not so nice. It's not as legible.
It's not as legible.
I mean, granted it's a cover up, but I feel like even the parts that aren't a cover up, it's just not as crispy as the first one that we looked at.
It's a little washy.
It's something that it took me a little second to figure out what I was looking at. You did it before where he made that choice of like my light source is coming from the top. So it makes sense that the bottom is going to be very dark. He tried this approach where the light source is coming from the right. So in it doesn't feel as effective because you don't get to see the ending of the skull.
Mm-hmm. Man, this is tough. I think just composition wise, if the skull,
it needs more definition.
Yeah, it needs more definition. But I'm just thinking like placement wise, composition wise, the skull features like the eyes, nose and top of the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's so small compared to
the entire
design.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah,
that,
I agree.
That could have easily been
much bigger.
The entire foot and all this like wispy kind of illegible stuff down by the toes is unnecessary. Yeah. Like
when you tattoo feet, man, it's crazy how much smaller the space is. And when you think about that, there's a tattoo there already on the side of the foot that he kind of went. So it shows you that this tattoo's fairly small, probably. Yeah. Unless this woman has a gigantic foot, but like she has a normal size foot, and the space between like where the ankle to the where the toes begin, that's fairly small to squeeze all that in, and just making use of just the bigger skull shapes and just having super strong shadows and not worry too much about all that extra texture, all the extra stuff, would just make it a much easier to read and stronger design.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Moving on.
If you remember a few weeks back, we had Ed from Tattoo Armor on the podcast, and he was able to hook us up with a discount code for our followers. So Tattoo Armor is literally the best way to wrap your client. I've been using it. Matt's been using it, and it's just awesome. There's no mess. There's no glue, and it's just super comfortable. I hope you can try it for yourself and just go on to Tattoo Armor and use the code HONESTTATTOOER for 20% off your order.
All right. What's next? We got
a lady. So off the rip, this tattoo,
not bad.
It's not bad, but it doesn't have the same really strong light source that the other tattoos had, especially the first one. The first one had a very like kind of direct light source. He tried to do some of that like really strong negative space, but then the part where it's like the inner part of the hair being just as light and having negative space like the front of the head kills that effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. There needs to be more variation in contrast. It's too mid to light.
There's too many of the mid to light tones everywhere in the tattoo. And yeah,
I can't get
larger tones.
Like there's some black there, but not enough of it against how much negative space there is.
Yeah.
On the zombie tattoo, it looked fairly balanced, like good, like super darks and then super negative space in spots. But now here it's like they're everywhere.
This to me looks like this is the first session.
For sure.
Right. Whether or not that's the intention, I don't know. But
that's how it feels.
It feels like an incomplete tattoo.
It feels incomplete.
What I see though, I like it. It's nice.
Yeah.
shading's fairly smooth. I wish there was a little bit more definition in the defining features, like her nostrils.
Yeah, her nose needs a little work.
Yeah, her lips like need a little bit of definition.
But to be fair, like noses, when you're doing realism, it's very hard to pull off that type of like shading under shadow.
Yeah.
Going into extreme like light point. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not even saying that though. I'm just saying as far as like the defining shape, like maybe do a light line instead of trying to just mag in the shape of the nose.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's funny because that's what I actually done many times. Just line it in there, yeah. You know, and just make it like a sharp shadowy edge.
Yep. Yeah. You know what? I liked this before I started picking it apart. And now I'm seeing a lot of things that I don't know if maybe the stencil got a little warped or maybe he drew this and instead of like tracing something,
but yeah.
I do see a lot of warping, I guess is the right word to say. Like her eye in the shadow side of her face mm-hmm. is much higher than the eye in the light side of her face. And the center point of her hair is not centered on her forehead or her nose. Like, so to me, I don't know if everything kind of got shifted a little bit, but something seems a little off.
Yeah. There's something a little bit off, but I don't think it's anything that another session of tattooing couldn't be fixed.
You can't move features though.
Well, wait, I think what you're talking about with like the eye difference, I think it's, you see the gap between the eyelid and the brow on the right side. It feels like there's, if you did more shading and you move that with shading, you can kind of fake that a little bit.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw this into Photoshop right now and warp it and see if we can straighten everything out.
Because I see what you mean.
What I did was I moved the center line of the hair part more centered.
Yeah.
And then I brought that eye that's in the shadow side more closer. Like if you look at where her eyes are in the left picture, that's the one that I edited.
Compared to the one
on the right. Like her eyes on the right look very far apart from each other.
I feel like the part that makes the biggest difference is moving the hair to the middle. To tell you the truth. The eyes being further apart doesn't bother me as much.
No.
Yeah. That doesn't bothers me as much as that. But it's crazy by creating a little bit of more symmetry, how much more appealing a face looks.
Yeah.
A little bit more symmetry and a face immediately looks more appealing.
Yep.
Crazy.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on. So the next.
All right. So the next one now is from laziness.
From laziness. Oh my goodness.
I don't know if this is done.
It's not done and it's a cover up, right? That's why all that black's there.
Yes.
I don't know where to start. The first thing that I don't like is, I hate when I see a design and it's like so symmetrical, but not symmetrical. And it's like super like the drawing is symmetrical, but it's not like, I don't know how to put it into words other than like,
it's not perfect.
It's not perfect. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. it's something that was drawn in Procreate with like the mirroring of it. That's why it has that feel that is uncomfortable to look at. You know, it's perfection where I think even just drawing two flowers, like two peonies that look very, very similar, but have the same positioning and anything, but you have little variations to them. That feels more comfortable to the eye. Because even when you look at a person's face, even though it looks symmetrical, it's not at all. But that's what makes it more, that like imperfection of it makes it easier to just digest. Because when you see your face and you take a picture of it and you flip it and look at one, you're like, whoa, that looks wild, you know? Because one side of your face looks completely different than the other. So I think seeing that in a tattoo, it just makes it uncomfortable.
I hear the comments right now. What? You just said if you make the face more symmetrical, it's so much more appealing.
Yes, but it's just one face, but this is like different elements, you know? It's different elements. Like I think that's something that we've seen a lot of in people that have sent, you know, designs where they're relying on the symmetry brush.
Yeah.
You know, without, and I think the symmetry brush is a good tool, like when you're starting to like hash out a design, but then when you're doing the final kind of drawing of it, you need to just draw both sides.
I mean, I'll agree and disagree. I feel like there are some times where a perfect symmetry is acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, for sure, but then you have to tattoo it that way.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you're going to go that route, then you need to tattoo it that perfect on both sides.
When you're doing like something like a back piece, that's a very painful process. You're not going to want to like, you know, knock out an area, like let's say something that's going to be color saturated and just give it like one pass and be like, I got to hit the red up again next session. Like you're trying to nail that like first time.
If you're going to work in sections, like yeah. Finish that section.
Yeah, finish the section. Pack it in fully because that looks a little light. And I get it because when you gain more experience, you learn that like back skin is like very resilient. You have to run your shit hard and you got to pack stuff in there. Yeah, like that color saturation, like in the ears, even though you're trying to fade that like red, it's still very blotchy and patchy and light. So it heals light, just like that healed section by the neck. Like that looks very washy to me. It doesn't look like velvety saturated blending out to like a light wash into skin.
Yeah.
So check out what I just sent you. I sent you the first session line work. You can see where the old tattoo is and what's getting covered up.
Yeah. It's like a black and gray, like plants, like flowers or blossoms.
So go into what John was saying before about the symmetry up on top. Because you can get a better view of this now while the girl's standing.
Mm-hmm.
The peak of the design is not lining up centered with her neck.
It's not. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, so no one's going to have a perfect spine. No one's going to be perfectly straight and symmetrical. Her back.
Is it the old tattoo that's like.
No.
Misplaced?
Her back, her left shoulder sits a lot higher than her right.
It does.
No, I see that.
So to compensate for that, he kind of angled the stencil so that the flowers fit on the shoulders, same spot.
Just right.
But that messed up the center line of the top of the piece.
And it made it look even more off.
Yeah.
I would have actually just like left it alone and let the peony do its thing, even if it were to flop over a little bit more on top. Because overall, when you're trying to place stencils like this on bodies that do this, they're not symmetrical. You have to meet the design in the middle. If anybody knows what I mean by that, it's like you meet the design in the middle with the imperfections that the body has to offer, as far as like how much you got on one side, how much, you know, on the next side.
So here's what I always do whenever I'm stenciling a big piece, whether it's a back piece, whether it's even just like an arm or whatever, in my mind, I am prepared that this stencil is not going to go on the way that I expect it to.
Mm-hmm.
And with my stencil, I have a marker and I'm ready to freehand.
Make the changes,
that's right. Add whatever, erase some stuff. Just to rely solely on your stencil, especially in a situation like this, you're going to run into the problems that he's running into right now.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what I would do is like what Gabe is saying, find your center line, spread out your stencil, make it go even from side to side based on your center line. And then if anything feels a little funny where like, oh, it doesn't roll over the shoulders the same on the left as it does on the right, then you make your adjustments with your marker, either make a petal a little bit bigger to compensate or add a petal or add a leaf or something. But I think the center line is the most important part on this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think if maybe they placed, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but it looks like they might've had like the kind of filigree centerpiece of it attached to the stencil with the flowers, you know, like they just cut it down the middle, kind of applied it and tried to match it. And I think if this person would have applied, like broken down this whole design into pieces, right? Of like, all right, first I'm going to center this foo dog head. Just center the foo dog head because it's the biggest thing, most important centered thing in there. So make the foo dog be nice and centered, which is also has that lean, if you can notice. Mm-hmm. It also has the lean.
Yep.
So center the foo dog. That's immediately going to make it feel more centered. Then place the flowers last at that filigree centered, and I would freehand that part or just apply it as a separate stencil that you overlay behind everything else.
Yeah.
And then you would have been able to get everything more balanced by just breaking it down into pieces, even if you did it in separate sessions. Just by making sure that foo dog, since it's going to be sitting in front, make that centered, big, then make the other flowers because they also kind of, they feel like they compete with each other a little bit. I would have made that foo dog head bigger.
Yeah.
Tough cover up to do though.
It is. Sure. It is a tough cover up to do. Right. That's why cover ups are hard, man. Cover ups are hard. Back pieces are hard.
That old tattoo, the tramp stamp that's there, it looks like it's way off.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is probably not helping either.
Yeah, it's just based on the picture. It's throwing me off like big time.
That's the worst. When you're trying to do a cover up of a symmetrical piece, covering it with a symmetrical piece, but the first tattoo is not symmetrical.
It's not symmetrical.
Yeah. That throws you. All right. Keep us posted on that one. We want to see how you finish it up.
For sure.
All right. Let's keep it moving.
Let's keep it moving.
Go to the samurai.
Okay. First thing that stands out to me about the samurai, same thing. Very like, very light and washy on the color packing. Yeah, but even still.
Right, right. I'm just adding that. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're doing cover-up tattoos, you want to go full saturation.
Is this also a cover-up?
Yeah, so the top swirl, they're covering something. And then I think on the bottom swirl.
If you're going to do Japanese wind bars and like wind swirls, even if it's a cover-up and you're making good use of the black, at least at the edge of one of the sides of the swirls of the parallel lines, when you're going from that black wind bar, soften the edge out.
Yeah.
Brush it out. You got to make it look like it's smooth. It's got to be a transition. So for right now, I'm just focusing on the areas that are obviously not a cover up for me, which are the most important spots where you have the liberty, where you're not like constrained by the old cover up. That's where you should really shine. So for me, it's like that hand, those fingers.
Yeah, it's a wonky hand, right? It's pretty noodly.
Yeah, it's a, you know, even if you're doing Japanese, which is still an illustrative design, they still have good proportions with their fingers, drawing, anatomy, even if it's exaggerated. So make sure when you're tattooing fingers and hands, guys, I know it's hard, but you got to be consistent and you got to make sure that you pull off those things nice, because we're all looking at hands and little toes.
I can't honestly tell where that the right hand doesn't feel like it's coming out of the same person.
The one holding the sword?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one angle.
It's a very weird angle.
Yeah,
it's
like kind of, oh man. Yeah. Okay.
Like if I see where the shoulder of that left hand is supposed to be, and I go around where that other shoulder should be, it doesn't feel like it's aligned to it at all.
Yeah, it's like a shoulder and his chest and his clavicle are detached.
Yeah, like it's this not, doesn't match.
When you're drawing a figure covered with clothes, even though you can't see the body part that's covered by the clothes, still draw that body part and attach it to the body so that you don't run into this issue right here where it looks like that arm is not connected to the body. If you follow through with your drawing and connect that arm to the body, you'll figure out like, oh shit, this doesn't really make any sense. I got to redraw this and make it connect.
That's why it's important. If you're going to draw a figure, is draw your frame.
Yeah.
Draw them naked pretty much. Just bones.
Skeleton, yeah.
Just draw the skeleton and then layer everything on top of that. And then you'll be able to get a right pose. And
I'll tell you the thing that I like composition-wise about this tattoo, though, is the good use of the, even though I have my complaints about the color saturation and it could be better, the use of blue on both the upper arm and then lower arm is really cool. I feel like the use of red could have complemented a touch if you threw it down there somewhere.
On the wrist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somewhere in the bottom. Somewhere, I mean, it also looks,
somewhere on the bottom.
This tattoo also looks incomplete. It looks like it's not finished.
Yeah, that's why I was like, if it's complete, then it needs that. If it's still incomplete, then I'm sure you're probably going to add some.
Which, there's nowhere, you can't add red to that unless you're doing something on the hands. You can't add red to the bottom part of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can on the horns, or you can whip some red off the top of the forehead of that Hanya a little bit. Like there's ways that you can add some red to it.
Yeah, for sure.
But overall.
Yes, there is. I think that will totally kill the effect though.
Yeah.
Adding red to that Hanya mask.
On the horns, I think
on the horns, it'll be okay.
On the horns, it'll be cool.
Yeah. Because he's not going over any colors whatsoever. No blues, no.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. I don't think that's a good choice, but okay.
Because it could be like on the tip. You see on the tip of the horns?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And then you fade it down?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it looks like that.
It'll look like the
freaking popsicle.
Yeah, the rocket. Yeah.
Like the rocket.
The rocket. Like the rocket.
Yeah. All right, cool. And, you know, like.
It wouldn't even have to be like a full red, you know, like even if you did like for the horns, if you went either a really, really dark brown to a red on those horns, like the red's like the brightest part, but it's like a dark brown.
Yeah.
Like that would work. Or even if he would have made the eyes like a pop of red and instead of using like the yellow.
Yeah.
That could have been cool too. Hmm. But overall, the tattoo just doesn't feel finished.
What is that yellow thing, by the way?
A sun?
It can't be. Look how wonky it is.
I know, but that's the only thing I could think. Yeah. A bag? You got the bag. You dropped it and fumble it.
I got the bag. I got the bag.
I don't know. I feel like it's either or, but
you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, there's like a necessary
overall, and I hope you don't get offended by this, dude. I feel like you're doing projects that are bigger than
what you can understand,
than what you can grasp. You know, you have like an understanding of tattooing, of course, but I think that you should still focus on doing projects that are half the size of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of which, let's look at the next one, the skull with the rose.
All same artist?
It's the same guy.
Really?
Yep. I like this tattoo. I feel like it could be slightly cleaner.
Yeah.
But I dig it.
I think it's the strongest one of the last three that we saw.
Yeah. It's the strongest one. That's why I asked. I'm like, who did this?
Yeah. It's the strongest one out of all the other ones.
So I would like try to focus on something like this and strengthen your technique, make it cleaner on something like this. Because this you can handle. No offense. For now, you can handle this.
Yeah. And I think even this tattoo, we're all saying like, I like the design, but it could just be cleaner. And if you maybe took twice as long on this tattoo, just slowed down and took time on just making sure that your fundamentals are solid and that everything's super clean and super smooth.
Yeah. Because I see a lot of like little shading outside the lines.
Just like it's a little rushed. Yeah. You know,
it looks rushed.
It looks a little rushed. And overall, it's like it's a cool design, but it just feels a little rushed.
Overall, you need to slow down and be tighter with your technique. It's got to be tighter.
Yeah.
And that comes with slowing down.
Even the like that red up top where it kind of gets whipped out, you know, like there's no smooth whipping of that, you know, red. It just feels like it just red stops.
Yeah, it's too quick with the transition. You could have fanned it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But that requires, like we're all saying, finesse.
Slowing down, taking your time and sharpening your eyes.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not much to say about this. Slow down, clean it up, but cool tattoo.
Cool tattoo. Yeah, I like this one. Overall, in this tattoo, I like the design. The only thing I wish wasn't there was the
black behind the leaf back there.
That petal in front of that black. I wish, because then that having that circle back there, it would be cool because you see that bottom circle with the red, but I hate that petal is right in front of it. I just don't need that petal. I would rather just see the black, the black circle.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
See, I would have opted for the other thing. I would have not minded keeping that leaf there, but get rid of the black circle.
You see, I like the black circle. I just don't like the leaf there in front of it because it takes away from the power of the black circle.
That's crazy. I'm with John on that. I like the black circle.
All right, but riddle me this.
Without the leaf, though.
Why have a power black circle all the way in the top of the composition, drawing your eye away from the eyes and features of the skull?
Because it's like the whole kind of balance of like, you're doing that red circle on the bottom, black circle at the top. Yeah. It kind of gives it a sense of like, as above, so below type of deal, you know? But I feel like you lose the power of having that black circle because that leaf is in front of it.
In my opinion, I think that's what's saving it. I think that because you're losing the power of that circle, it's not making your focus on that black circle as much.
You're wrong, bro.
I know, bro. Yeah. I like that circle. I like the black circle back there. So like I just wish it had the same amount of space as the circle that's on the bottom, you know, like, cause you kind of lose a little bit of that curvature of the circle. That's the one that's in the back. So if it was just like a little further out to the right, so it feels like more diagonal to it, you know, I feel like, and then that would have that really cool effect of like red sun, black sun, you know, and the contrast there. Cause I like the contrast that it creates right next to the negative space on the skull and the solid red of the rose or whatever kind of flower that is.
Riddle me this, Batman. But how about this one? It would also work if the black circle wasn't there. See, the leaf only works for me if the black circle's not there.
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't like that leaf at all if the black circle wasn't there because that leaf is just coming out of nowhere.
I know, but I've done that before.
And I don't like it. I don't like it.
Got to fill some space, add some leaves.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Let's do this spider lady head. Mm-hmm.
yeah, we're back to the same thing. And I hope you find this helpful, but really take your time to saturate stuff, like in your blacks. Your blacks need to be saturated more, like at the closest edge to the line where the hair shine starts, you know, at the deepest pocket where it starts coming up around the bend. It's got to be, to me, pitch black.
Black.
And then freaking fading into that light source, that sheen of that, like, you know, where it goes like into negative space almost.
This particular tattoo in this style, I feel like, doesn't even necessarily need a long fade the way that he's trying to do. Like, most of that hair could just be black. And then black, just like a little whip at the edge.
That's right. And then just like that soft whip. At the edge.
A tiny bit.
Fast transition.
Yeah.
Super fast, just but it's contrast.
Yeah.
Just contrast.
Yeah.
And so the way that Gabe was saying that the previous tattoo where that transition in the rose or whatever flower that was too fast with the red. You want that here in this one.
Yeah. With the jet black hair effect. But, you know, of course I'm zooming into that because that's what I do. And
as John always says, like,
you need to be clean. You need to be saturated.
You need to be saturated.
Because we're all looking at this stuff.
Shade to the line.
Yeah.
Shade to the line.
You took it right out of it. I was about to go there right there.
I mean, you're doing that too much and you do it on the face.
You did it on the face, especially.
So if you're not going to pack it solid, we can tell it's going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Man, I hate the fact that he did that on those red spots on the face, which if you were going to line it in red, then you got to make that red line disappear.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it has to disappear. And I don't even think you needed to really even line that around the face. Yeah. Just by using your mag and just whip into that end of where your stencil was at, that would look cool. Mm-hmm. It'll keep that face looking softer. And I think that you also need to make better choices with your line weights in tattoos like this. The lines in the hair, they look like they're a not finessed three liner.
Yeah. And I can see on every line.
There's a little wiggle.
I can see where on every line where you start and stop. Like when you're pulling a long line, like along the headdress on the top part, I can tell where you were kind of like stopping or lifting the needle out of the skin and then going forward again on that line. But there needs to be consistency. And, you know, it just, like I said, it comes with time, practice.
One thing I would advise to you, man, is you need to stick to doing some flash tats, man. Like get some solid flash experience. Like get some really nice, good flash tattoos. Tattoo them and make sure that they look like that photo.
Yep.
They got to look exactly like that flash that you're drawing. Because like if I can tell that these are like his own drawings that he's making, but the drawings are still not strong. Strong drawings.
Because you need to like learn about the fundamentals and then you'll understand why certain tattoos look a certain way. And you'll just, it's kind of hard to explain, but you'll just get it.
Yeah. Yeah, like
you'll just get why
when
it
you're
works.
Tattooing really good flash and you like don't nail it exactly like a really solid tattoo, you're like, oh man, that's what it's so clear when you're tattooing somebody else's drawing why it didn't work. But when you're tattooing your own drawing and your own drawing is still not as strong, it's like you get this where it's like the drawing wasn't strong and then your application is not strong, so it's like a double whammy.
Yeah,
yep.
Especially when it comes to spiders or anything that's going to be a lot of black. And with this one in particular, where you have black legs bending over, black hair, having your drawing done good in the first place, but then also having a color study to reference while you're tattooing it is important. So I feel like he was trying to figure out, how am I going to shade these legs where it's not going to blend in with the black of the hair? And he was getting confused.
Yeah.
So having a little preparation beforehand, because if you color this before, you would have saw that, all right, this isn't really going to work and I'm losing these legs and this hair. So maybe I could redraw it and change the shape of the legs a little bit.
I wouldn't have minded losing the legs a little bit, you know, because if you think about like, oh, these legs are coming out of this like hair, it's fine if the legs fully disappear a little bit when they go into the hair, you know, as long as they get lighter and when they come out, you know. But that would have been cooler. Maybe do some like hair, you know, kind of whipping out of where the legs are. Like there's like little things that could have made it work.
Yeah. But, well, what I'm saying is like having just black shading on black shading.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Black on black with the same level of like intensity. Cause like there's still no solid, solid black.
Yeah. All right. Last one. We got Joker as a thumbnail. Looking at this one, it's stronger.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But zooming in, we're running into the same issues. It's being a little patchy, a little scratchy, but as a composition, I think this one, you nailed it.
The composition I like.
Yeah.
This tattoo, it feels like the shading looks more solid than it did before.
It's definitely better. Anytime you're tattooing something that's supposed to be white, it's always a challenge. So he's got like that really pale white makeup on.
Yeah.
Because you, one spot you can overdo it and you kill the whole effect.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then on the other hand, if you don't do enough, it just looks too flat.
Well, I don't hate the effect of the face that he did. It's, you know, that kind of like black and gray with like a splash or a little bit of red and trash polka kind of mixed into all of this. And I feel like when it heals, it'll look more grayish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like all the same things that happened in the other tattoo are happening here. And there's like even things where like you threw this white on these bats.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary, dude.
The one bat over the hair is very unnecessary also.
Yeah. Like just, you know, why add this white on such a secondary object of the tattoo that's not important? Like, you know, the only white in this whole tattoo should be the two dots that you're going to put in those eyes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just dot, dot, point of focus, everything else unnecessary. Be very careful with your choices. Be mindful of your choices when you're tattooing. And you're going to do better tattoos. Slow down, stop through every step of this tattoo. Like after you get through it, just think about what's next. You know, if you're not thinking about what's next, and that's why it's important to do either, you know, a color study, like Matt's saying, like if you have a color study, you're going to feel way more confident when you're going to the tattoo because you've already done it. You know, you've already approached it in a certain way. But if you're just working off of like a few images that you pulled up on Instagram from Photoshop or online, and that's your reference, like you're still processing that tattoo as you're tattooing, and you're going to be slower at tattooing. It takes many, many years to be able to do that and do it with confidence where you're like, oh yeah, I've done this a million times. I don't even have to think about it. But I don't think you're at that point in your tattoo world.
All right. That was it.
Yep.
Cool.
Man, that was it.
That was it.
Pretty good.
That was a long one.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we're going to keep working to try to bring more to the podcast for you guys. And if you have, you know, a submission of your work that you want to do, please join the Patreon and you can send us a message through there and we'll be happy to talk to you guys. And we can hopefully figure out how to do a live show because I feel like it would be a great way to really interact with you guys and have a much more close relationship with all you guys and just talk, you know, just quicker, you know, than through the DMs.
Sure.
Yep.
Speaking of Patreon, there's a couple of people I want to thank. And while I'm thanking them, I want you guys to think of maybe a recommendation for this week. So we have a few new patrons that jumped on this week. One of them was Rico Seja, which we just did the critique for today. So thank you, Rico. And then we also have JT, Justin Lanero, Ryan McNiven, and Nicholas Boiksik, which Nick sent me a message a couple of days ago saying, dude, I got to admit, when I first found out about you guys, I was a hater. Oh. And now he's a patron supporter.
That's amazing.
So he came around and I asked him, I was like, well, what happened? Like, what made you have the change of heart? And he was like, well, you know, when I first saw the first reel that I came across on Instagram, it was just like something he didn't agree with and he was a hater and it was out of context. So he didn't understand the full story. So, I mean, dude, good on you for actually going against what you hate really and checking out the full episode. And it was like, now that I watched the full episode, I understand what you guys are really about. And I got the whole context, the whole conversation. He's like, I'm in now. He loves it. So dude, thank you very much for committing, giving us a chance and now supporting the show. Appreciate that. So if you want to be anything like those guys, you can head over to patreon.com/honesttattooer and sign up to be a Patreon supporter. Every little bit counts. There's four tiers that you can submit. You can sign up to and be a Patreon supporter on any of those tiers. Every tier gives you the same access. There is no difference in what you get out of each one. It's just a matter of what you feel like contributing to help support the show.
If you guys know anything about me, you know that I love a little bit of jazz, a little bit of funk, a little bit of soul music. I wanted to recommend, if you like that kind of music, listen to this album called Music Original de Films by Ahmed Malik. And it's like Algerian funk music from like the 70s. It's freaking sick. I know it sounds super obscure and weird, but it's really good. Trust me. It's dope because like I love listening to music that I don't know the language, because then it just sounds like background music and it's not distracting and I can just focus on the vibes that it creates. And it's really, really good. So Ahmed Malik, you got it.
I got two recommendations. One of them is an Instagram page called ArtWad, and it's art_wad, W-O-D.
Oh, cool.
And it's a like an instructional account, right? And this guy, he takes submissions, does critiques, and he'll show you exactly how to correct mistakes that are most commonly found.
Cool.
It's really, really informative. And especially when it comes to figure drawings, a lot of like caricature designs, he kind of just sits there and he draws and he'll correct on screen. You can see the changes that are being made and how to make some changes for yourself. It's really insightful.
That's awesome. See, that's something that I would love to do in a live episode of the podcast. Yeah. Next time that we do like a live critique, then we can actually just do something like that where we can like draw on the iPad directly and show you guys exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
G Money, what you got?
As far as what, like new
recommendations or anything in any sort, fishing spots.
Oh man. You know what? I always try to find like the best sort of advice, but I always just try to recommend what works for me. Aside from spending time on like your drive and your passion, get yourself a hobby, because it's good to be able to take a breather and focus like on another skill.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like those things go hand in hand. I mean, it's always good to like focus on one thing and try to master this one thing, but you know, when you supplement something, whether it's like good music that inspires you or like a great read or a great book, like even if reading's your passion, like, you know, knitting, drawing, like anything that keeps your mind working, but that's aside from what your passion is, your career, I feel like it's like working out like another muscle, but it complements your whole body. You know what I mean? That's the way that I like to put it. So
I completely agree, man. At the end of the day, when you're trying to get good at anything, you're going to need to have the drive to continually practice and to always have discipline. Yeah. If you can't have those two things, you won't get good at anything.
Yeah.
So if you can manage to do that for one thing, you get good at that one thing, find something else.
That's right.
It'll humble you back down to like, oh man, I need to get good at something else.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the forever quest.
Yeah.
I said I had two recommendations. The other one is ManyChat. And if you follow me on Instagram, you probably have noticed that I do a lot of, especially with my prints that I sell online. It's like, if you like this print, comment this word, right? And so what that does is it's an automated thing that if you comment a trigger word that I set up, then you'll get a DM from ManyChat on my behalf, and it'll send you a whole bunch of pathways to either buy a print or whatever you set it up to do. So ManyChat is definitely something that's worth looking into if you're trying to market yourself. I just set up a free giveaway. If anybody wants some recognition on Instagram and you want the algorithm boost, do a giveaway, have people comment a trigger word that you set up through ManyChat and it'll explode. I set up a giveaway yesterday and within about 24 hours, I got almost 1,000 comments.
That's wild, dude.
Wow.
Wild.
And if I had to respond to all of those, it'd be intense, but I don't have to do a goddamn thing because ManyChat takes care of all of it.
That's awesome. That's rad. Well, guys.
Cool.
We hope you really, really liked the show this week. And we hope we see you next week. Have a great day. Bye. Or night.
Peace, guys.
Peace.